Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Set Free Live, brought to you by Women of Power Ministries. It is our prayer that the word of the Lord will be a blessing to you. We pray that as you listen, the Holy Spirit will enlighten, encourage, and inspire you in your walk with the Lord. Let's go now into the word of the Lord. Be blessed.
We're longing for your hand to guide us to a place where you can cleanse us with your rain, baptize us once again. We thirst for you.
God bless you, beloved. I am Apostle Deborah Taylor, and it is a blessing to be with you once again today. Truly, we do thank and praise God for his loving kindness and his tender mercy. We're excited about the word of the Lord, and we pray that as we go into the word today, that you will be blessed by the Lord and that God would minister to you. Praise God. We just want to go back into a teaching that we began some time ago on the book of Acts. Praise God. And we're going to pick up the latter portion of chapter 6 and go on into chapter 7 on today. So we invite you just to gather around. Praise God. Get your Bibles and just join us as we go into the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you, God, for allowing us to see this day, Father. And we just ask now that you will anoint your word. Bless those, Father, that are listening in. Father, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, God, just for being God all by yourself. Illuminate your word to our hearts, Father. Let it go deep down in our spirit, Father, and be food for our very soul and marrow in the bone, Father God. Go down in, just minister and have your way. We thank you now. We just give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we're talking about Stephen, picking up in the latter portion of chapter 6. The Bible says that, you know, the anointed man, Stephen, he was full of faith and power, and he did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, we know that Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. He was one of those that had been chosen to serve as a deacon to minister to those that had needs in the church. But this man of God loved the Lord. He was full of God, full of the Holy Ghost, and God used him mightily. But then there were certain people in the religious world, in the synagogue, that weren't able to receive Stephen. They rose up against him, and he was a man, again, full of wisdom, and they could not resist the wisdom that he had. So he stirred up. Amen. The enemy in them, the enemy, let me put it that way. Praise God. And they were suborned men in verse 11 of chapter 6. And so they just decided to stir up slander and lie on him and make him look like he was really coming against the church in a negative way. So they brought him before his accusers, and they were false witnesses against him. They stirred up the people. They stirred up the elders and the scribes, and they brought him before the council and set him there, and they began lie on him pretty much, and they had false witnesses, and they said that this man ceased not to speak blasphemous words. So they accused him of blasphemy against the holy place and the law. For we have seen him, they said in verse 14, we have seen him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. So the anointing of the Lord was on Stephen, and he stood before his accusers. And then they begin to ask him in chapter 7, if what they heard was the truth. Now, Stephen began by going into the word with them. He went all the way back to Abraham. In verse 2, it says, and he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. So he began to tell them and talk to them about Abraham and how God called Abraham out from where he was. And we know that, amen, God spoke to Abraham and he left his family, he left his familiar surroundings to go to a land that he wasn't familiar with, but he obeyed God, amen, he followed God, amen, and what God told him to do. And then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to which his foot was on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. So even before Abraham had children, we know that God promised him, amen, that he would bless him and make him a father of many nations, praise God. And so God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. And we know the scripture here talks about when they went into bondage down in Egypt during the famine, and how God, amen, used Joseph, used his brothers, amen, in a way that we would never think that God could turn such a bad situation around. Amen. His brothers rose up against him, decided to sell him. They really wanted to destroy him, but one of his brothers stood in for him, said, no, we're not going to kill him. But they did strip him of his robe, and they decided to sell Joseph. They sold him, praise God, to the Midianites, I believe. Amen. And then they, in turn, sold him to the house of Pharaoh, to Potiphar, praise God. And so he ended up, amen, in Egypt, ended up in prison, ended up in a very low place, praise God. But God used that, praise God, because years later, amen, when Pharaoh had a dream, and the dream was interpreted by Joseph, God delivered him and set him up and made him second in command. And as a result of that, his people went down into Egypt during the famine, praise God. So that dream that Joseph had so many years ago, that his brothers, his mother, and his father would bow down before him, we know that came to pass. And God does speak through dreams, beloved. Amen. And God used that, amen, used that time, amen, to spare the people. But as a result, after, and we won't read all of the scripture, but Egypt, but after he was there, amen, the Lord gave wisdom and gave favor, I should say, to Joseph, to the people, that Pharaoh allowed the people to come and to dwell there, amen, and for a period of time they had peace. But after Joseph died and that Pharaoh died, another king rose up, another Pharaoh rose up that did not know Joseph, and they began to treat the people harshly, and they went into bondage for some 400 years. And so we come down to Moses and how God spared Moses. And when his mother realized that he was a good child, he was a blessed child, she didn't want to see him die, because the edict had gone out that all the male children needed to be put to death. They were to be thrown in the river and they were to be drowned. But she spared him. She put him in an ark, hid him in a bulrush, and the daughter of Pharaoh found him and had favor and pity and compassion on Moses and took Moses in and raised him. Isn't it something how when God wants to use someone, again, he will use some different circumstances to get us from point A to point B, amen, so that he can do the work that needs to be done. And this is what happened with Moses. Well, Moses was raised in the column halls of Pharaoh in Egypt, and so he learned all about Egypt. He learned all about their Kerlock. They were all God. And one day, after he was grown, he was going through him, and he saw something happen. He saw an Egyptian raise up against one of the Israelites, and this man, thinking that, you know, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. I'm in Pharaoh's court. I'm a part of that royal family, and I can, you know, just kind of help out. But He overstepped his bounds and he moved out before his time, if you will. Praise God. And it backfired on him. If you read down in verse 25, actually, let's go back up to 24. It says, and when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit the brethren, his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Will thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? So they did not recognize really who Moses was, nor was the anointing on Moses at this time to deliver his people. So here he was. He saw a situation where two of his brethren were fighting. They had a disagreement. And he steps in the middle to try to bring peace. But they did not receive Moses at this time. Praise God. So once Moses realized that, you know, word was out that he had killed this Egyptian, it didn't go over well. Didn't go over well with Egypt. He fled. He fled, and for 40 years, he was a stranger in the land of Midian, but God blessed him there. He had a family, raised two sons, and when he was 80 years old, another 40 years it took for God to get Moses to the place where he could use him at the appointed time. Praise God. God always has an appointed time to use his people. Praise God. Many of you, amen, are called of God, and God has placed his anointing on your life, and some of you may not be fully walking all the way in where you feel you should be at this point, but God is preparing. Amen. He will lead you and he will guide you, beloved. Don't be discouraged. Amen. If you're not quite doing all that God wants you to do right now, allow him to prepare you. Allow him to make you. Allow him to mold you. And this is what I believe had to happen to Moses. Moses had to get to a place of surrender with God. 40 represents a time of preparation. Praise God. And so God had to prepare him, amen, for the work that he had. And when he sent him back the second time, amen, Moses went under the direction of God. He was not led by his flesh. He was not led by his own knowledge. He was not led by what he thought, amen, but he was strictly led by the Spirit of God. And we know that God brought the people out of bondage, brought them out of the land of Egypt, praise God, brought them out by a strong hand, proved to Pharaoh himself that God was God, amen, because 10 plagues, I believe, amen, hit the land of Egypt, praise God, when it was time for them to come out, amen. God even proved to his own people that he was God, and he'll do the same for us, beloved. God is God all by himself, and we must serve him. When we serve him in spirit and in truth, praise the Lord. So we know God led him back, praise God, led him back to bring the children out of bondage, praise God. And God did that. First of all, had to prove himself to Moses, amen, through a burning bush. Amen. If you go down to verse 35 in chapter 7, it talks about God, the angel of the Lord, appearing to him in a bush that did not burn up, praise God. One day, amen, he was on the backside of the desert. He looked up and he saw this fire. He saw it, and it just amazed him. He wanted to see what this thing was. And as he got close to it, as he got up in there where God wanted him, amen, God spoke literally, told him, take your shoes off. The place where you're standing is holy ground. Beloved, we know that God is a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a just God. He's a kind God. Amen. We talked about that even on yesterday, praise God, of how God is a righteous God, but yet he's a just God, he's a holy God, and he will judge, praise God, he will judge sin for what it is, praise the Lord, amen, you know, all of these things God will do, praise God, and so we thank God for his word, because his word is true, praise God. And Moses had this experience with God, and he had instances where it was just him and God when he would go up into the mountain, when he went up the first time to receive the commands of God. He was there for 40 days and 40 nights. It's just something about the number 40 when God really goes deep. Amen. I've heard of people that, you know, there have been times when God has led different ones on fasting and prayer where they would fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And you know, when God leads you on a fast like that, praise God, he has a purpose. He has something in mind that he wants to do. Praise God. Amen. And so we must be sensitive again to God and just simply obey the Lord, because God is wanting to move and God is wanting to use his people in this hour. We must stay in that vein, amen, of the Holy Ghost, where we can be so sensitive to God, amen, that we can be used by him. So Stephen continues to minister right here, praise God, and as he talked about Moses and he talked about the people coming out and how they, after they came out, they still wanted to go back into Egypt. They felt that, you know, Egypt land was better than where God was taking them to. So they convinced Aaron to make a calf, and they began to worship this calf. And God had to give that people over to that, and but they were destroyed as a result. So every time we go out and we do, praise God, or we sin against God or we rebel against God, sometimes God has to pull back and allow us to be destroyed by the very thing that we think that we want. Praise God. But what we need and who we need is Jesus. We need our relationships firm with God. Praise the Lord. So we see that Israel rejected God. And God, in verse 42, God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. O ye house of Israel, have ye offered me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Rephaim, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Every time the children of Israel rebelled against God, God allowed them to go down into bondage. And this happened over and over again. When the people served God, amen, when they were faithful to God, God blessed them and they prospered, praise God. And they were when they would go into war, when God was with them, they would win. Beloved, we have such power today that when we fight against the enemy and we're walking right with God, amen, God will cause us to triumph and be victorious. It's only when we sin and we get away from God, we do our own thing, that we lose the blessing of the Lord. Praise God. We lose the favor of God and his mercy and his grace. So it behooves us as a people of God to stay on the winning side. Praise God. To stay with the Lord. Amen. To develop that relationship with the Lord that we need. Praise God. And be faithful to the Lord. It does not pay to worship these other gods. It does not pay to allow the enemy to come in and we give place to other things. Amen. And begin to worship false gods or even make gods of our homes, of our children, of our jobs and whatnot. Praise God. But we must stay in that vein with God and keep him first in our lives. Praise God. Now listen, the word says in verse 44, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house, and we know that David desired to build God a house, but God said, no, you will not do it. Amen. But Solomon was the one that ended up building God a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hands made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Now, God desires to dwell in us now. Amen. He's made a way for us, amen, that God can tabernacle with us. Amen. Jesus can tabernacle and the Holy Ghost. Praise God. But when you resist the Lord, you resist the Holy Ghost. Praise God. That's your lifeline. The Holy Ghost is our lifeline to God. We don't want that connection to be broken. So, amen. He begins to call them stiff neck in heart, uncircumcised in heart. Praise God. And he says in 52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which shew before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Praise God. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. When they began to hear the word coming from Stephen, they were angry. They begin to raise up, praise God, and they begin to run at him and gnash at him. And praise God, we see that they did not want to receive what Stephen was saying, and all he did was proclaim the word of God. Many times, beloved, we will proclaim the word and be persecuted for it. Amen. Don't compromise the word. Don't take down, praise the Lord. Amen. But stand firm. Preach the word. Preach it in love. Praise God. Tell the truth. Praise God. And stand for the truth. Many may not like it. Praise God. Persecution may come as a result. You may get stoned. Amen. Stephen, as we're going to see what's going to happen to him. Praise God. Amen. He went down. But you know what? He went down with a testimony. Praise God. But he was full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. No doubt he probably did not know that he was going to lose his life, but he stood firm on the word of God. Amen. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now listen, when he looked up as they were stoning him, as they were gnashing upon him, as they ran upon him, his heart and his mind turned toward heaven. He looked up. He saw the glory of God, and he also saw Jesus standing up on the right hand of the Father. And I believe, glory to God, that Jesus was letting Stephen know, I'm with you. I'm with you, Stephen. It's all right. They persecuted me. They killed me. Praise God. And I died for you. My blood was shed, but I'm standing up for you now. Hallelujah. He did not deny the Lord. He did not deny the Father, but he stood and presented the gospel to the people. Praise God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. So he witnessed again Jesus, hallelujah. He witnessed, praise God, his Father, glory to God, and all the hosts, praise God. He saw the Lord in all of his glory, praise God. And the scripture says that they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Now, they were in perfect unity at this point. They didn't want to hear anything else that this young man had to say. Praise God, they ran upon him, praise God. And the scripture says that they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Praise God. And we're going to hear more about Saul later on. Praise God. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Amen. And I'm pretty sure he was in agony and pain as those, amen, rocks and stones was hitting him. Praise God. But his attention was so toward heaven. Praise God. Amen. He just began to cry and call upon the name of the Lord to receive him. Praise God. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Praise God. He went on to be with the Lord. Praise God. Stephen was a man of faith. Praise God. And we see here the effects of the persecution coming as a result of this man of God standing for the word of the Lord. Praise God. And we, beloved, will be persecuted. Amen. We will be talked about. We will be lied on. Amen. Don't think that, amen, because just because the anointing is moving and that's a great thing and God is using you that you're just going to sail through, amen, and won't go through anything as a result of being saved and born again, as a result of a believer, as a result of being a witness of Jesus Christ, because that is what Stephen did. He witnessed. He just simply proclaimed Jesus, amen, went all the way back to Abraham, brought it on down through Moses, praise God, brought it on down through David, brought it on down through, even talked about Joseph, and all the way down, and then got into idol worship and let the people know how when they began to put other gods before God, amen, that they were in rebellion, praise the Lord, amen. And then when he just pointed out that they were stiff-necked, that they didn't want to hear the truth, praise God, they were a religious sect of people, praise God, and religion will bind you, religion will keep you in bondage, it'll keep you in a box. Praise God, what you need is relationship. Legalism, traditionalism, all of these things, praise God, must be flushed out of our system. We must serve God in purity, in holiness, and in righteousness. Praise God. Now, going on into chapter 8, it says, and Saul consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So this persecution caused the people to be separated and to be scattered. Amen. God wanted to scatter them, praise God, because he wanted his word to go from the north, the south, the east, and the west. So he caused the persecution, amen, to happen. And he used it for the benefit of the people, not only the people, but for God. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 2 says, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Because Paul thought at this point that the people were coming against God. Praise God. Coming against the religious order, if you will. Praise God. So he just was making havoc, wreaking havoc on the church at this point. He was an enemy to the church. Praise God. Verse 4 says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So they continued to preach the word of God. Amen. The more they were persecuted, the more they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And this is what we must do, beloved. Amen. We must preach the uncompromised word of the Lord. Amen. God's word is rich. God's word is true. God's word is pure. God's word will keep you. Amen. It will build you up. It will keep you strong in the Lord Jesus. We thank the Lord for the word today. Father, we just ask now that you touch those that have listened to this lesson, Father God. Lord, help us to be faithful to you. Help us to be faithful to your word. No matter what we may endure, Father God, we ask that you give us strength to continue on, Father God, and preach your word, teach your word, live your word, walk your word each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beloved, my time is just about gone for the day, but we pray that you will continue to listen to our next broadcast as we will continue this teaching in the book of Acts. And I want to just say real quickly at the end here that we made a mistake when we said about 911. We said that it took place in 2011, and we know that 911 happened in 2001, amen, when the great tragedy happened. So we want to continue to pray for all of those that have been affected. Pray for our nation, beloved. Keep one another in prayer. Continue to lift up, amen, our nation and one another in prayer. Until we meet on our next broadcast, we pray God will bless you in Jesus' name. God bless. Thank you for listening to Set Free Live. Set Free Live is brought to you by Women of Power Ministries. If you would like more information about our ministry, we invite you to visit our website at www.wopministries.org. If you would like to sow into our ministry, you may do so by clicking the donate button on our homepage. We encourage you to email us your prayer requests, praise reports, or comments at prayer@wopministries.org. You may also write us at Women of Power Ministries, 1030 Sumac, Pueblo, West Colorado, 81007. Until our next broadcast, beloved, keep looking up and know that God is working all things out just for you because He loves you and He cares. In a dry